You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, April the 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're going to be taking a look at a lesson for this coming Sunday, which is the sixth Sunday of Easter. Lessons are from Acts chapter 10, because during the Easter season, there is no Old Testament reading, per se, replaced by the book of Acts. The epistle is from 1 John 5, 1-8, and the gospel, which we're going to be looking at, is from John chapter 15. So, without further ado, let's begin with John chapter 15, verse 1. Now, God is really inexplicable. That means we don't really understand the God of the Bible. There are many things that appear to be contradictory, and none better than the Holy Trinity. How can there be three gods? No, three persons, but one God. And there are many things that Jesus says that makes it difficult to understand and believe in him. So what he does, parables are one of the great things he likes to use. He compares himself to things that are well known to people in his day. And then he explains how he is like that. Chapter 15, verse 1 of John begins, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He has chosen not to say that I'm the good shepherd, or I'm the bread of life, or I am the water that results in no thirst. But this time, he uses the imagery of a vine. Vines were very important in the day of Jesus because, of course, they would lead to the production of wine. And that became very important, of course, with the Lord's Supper. So Jesus is saying, he's the true vine, but his Father is the one who dresses the vine, who plants it, gets it to maturity, and also gives it fruit. Jesus continues in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, we've said for a lot of programs that the goal of a sermon is to explain not just the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the Greek, but also the English. What is Jesus talking about this fruit? What he's talking about is the distinction between the time a person does not have the Holy Spirit and when he does get the Holy Spirit. We're talking about baptism to a great degree. Because in baptism, you're baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You receive the wonderful gift of faith and also the gift of the forgiveness of sins. A person who is baptized have now become justified. That's the way that God takes the wonderful benefits of the cross and applies them to you through the sacraments of baptism, through the sacraments of the Lord's Supper, and through hearing the Word of God. We're talking about the life of sanctification, which is impossible to occur unless you are attached to the vine. What does it mean to be attached to the vine? It means that you are bearing fruit. And what fruit? It's the fruit of good works that only occurs by those who are believers in Jesus Christ, who have faith in the words of his promises. So, if you are not bearing fruit, you will be taken away on the day of judgment, taken away from God, and are in hell. But if fruit is born, then you are saved. Verse 3. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Boy, if that is not the essence of the Christian faith. You do not become clean because of the good works that you do for Jesus Christ. No, it's the opposite. You become clean because the words of promise that Jesus gives to you. One of the great words, of course, from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Also, his words, it is finished. What was finished? Namely, his mission to come to earth, become a human being, and that was through the birth in Mary, and therefore to die for the sins of the world. That is the mission of Jesus Christ. And therefore you are clean, not because of the words you say or of the good works you do, but because of the word that Jesus has spoken to you. That occurs in the beginning of a lot of liturgies. We confess our sins. We say we are poor, miserable sinners, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And then the pastor speaks the words of God. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a representative of God, declare unto you that your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home. Yes, the pastor is speaking those words, but they are words from Jesus. And that's why you are already clean, because of the words spoken to you. And when you hear that word, you are part of the vine. You are bearing fruit on the branches. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. That is, again, the essence of the Christian faith, to abide in Jesus Christ as he abides in us. Why is that important? Verse 4 continues, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That is a teaching of the Christian faith, that until one comes to faith in Jesus Christ, none of his good works are truly appropriate, because the good works are done out of a selfish motivation to make ourselves look good or to try to buy our way into heaven. All of that fails. It's kind of, and I've mentioned this many a time before, a child. A child doesn't become a child of parents because of doing good works. No. Becomes a child either by being begotten or by being adopted. In the Christian faith, you abide in Jesus by being adopted. There's only one begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the fruit is a result of Jesus Christ and his word in you. And you begin to do good works out of love for Jesus. That becomes the proper motivation. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's a metaphor for hell. So on the day of judgment, God is going to look at your life. Is it a life that believes in Jesus Christ? Is it a life that bears fruit? And what kind of fruit? Boy, in our day, it's the fruit of obeying the morality of God's holy word. To obey that morality and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Wow. Does Jesus mean that if you wish for $1 million, you'll get $1 million? No. He's talking about believers. For what we wish for is always according to God's will. We may ask for more faith, or we may ask for greater comfort. We may ask for the realization that Jesus never leaves us. Our wishes are also therefore determined by Christ abiding in us. Tell me a wish that Jesus had that the Father did not grant. I mean, 5,000 people were there who were hungry. Jesus only had a little bread and fish. He thanked the Lord, God the Father, for giving him the ability to feed 5,000 men, not including the women and children. Therefore, whatever he wished, he was granted. He did not wish to stay away from the cross, because he knew that was his mission. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now there's a distinction between apostles and disciples. Apostles were those selected by God in order to write Holy Scripture and to be the teachers of the words of Jesus at the beginning of the Christian church. Disciples were all those who believed in Jesus for salvation. And so, we prove to be the disciples of Jesus by following his will in doing good works with a proper motivation. Verse 9 is a motivation. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Now, how do we abide in the love of God? Again, the English is explained by verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, this is a huge difference between a proper understanding of law and gospel. If you understand the law to be the commandments of God and think you're going to heaven because you have the ability to obey them, you fall short of the glory of God apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit, you are able to keep the commandments. Verse 10 says, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you. For what purpose? That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. That's the gift the Christian has. Joy, happiness, wonderful blessings because Jesus abides in us. And therefore, we receive many blessings from Jesus. Verse 12, to underscore, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, that love not only includes telling the gospel to those who need to hear it, but it also includes telling them where they break the law. That was the love of John the Baptizer in the baptism of repentance. He explained to people how they were breaking the laws of God and encouraged them to repent of such sin and reminded them that though John baptized with water, there was one coming, the Messiah, who would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, that doesn't mean that you sacrifice your earthly life, but you take the time to do good things. That's what parents do for children. They take time out of their lives of work to bring the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. At home, teaching them the small catechism of Luther, bringing them to church to hear the word of God and worship, and also to have them go to Sunday school and vacation Bible school so they can grow in the faith. That's laying down your life for your friends. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now that sounds like we're saved by obedience. But no, we're saved through faith. But that faith moves us to obey God. And that's why we are now friends of God, and He is our friends. Verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That's taught on the Mount of Transfiguration, when God the Father says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Jesus has made known to us everything that he has heard from his Father. Verse 16. This sentence coming up really shows the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's why you bear wonderful good works, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they are obedience to the commandments of God, but are done with a proper motivation, namely love for what Jesus has done for you in going to the cross, becoming your substitute in paying for your sins, and giving you a new life in Jesus Christ. That is a good word of the gospel. So John the Baptizer preached the law and repentance to prepare people for the coming of Jesus, who preached the gospel and gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith. Verse 17 ends. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. What a beautiful passage to show the essence of the Christian faith in our day. And get ready tomorrow to hear the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice. I'm Tom Baker. Join us tomorrow at 9:30. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.